Welcome to TanakhStudy.com. This is Gad Dishi, and together we're studying Sefer Melachim.
Melachim Aleph, Perek Bet. We just concluded in the end of Perek Aleph of how David made sure that Shlomo ascended to the throne, overcoming the revolt of Adoniyahu. And now in Perek Bet, David's time to pass away has come, and he's going to instruct Shlomo how to maintain his power. ויקרבו ימי דוד למות, ויצב את שלמה בנו למור. David's days came to a close, it was time for him to die, and he commanded his son Shlomo to say, here the word ויצב is not just a simple command, it's more this last will and testament. We have similar language by the death of Yaakov, ויצבו את בניו למור. אנוכי הולך בדרך כל הארץ, וחזקת והיית לאיש. I'm going to go the way of the world, and you're going to be strong and be a man. And again, this idea that Shlomo is a youngster at this point, we saw that Bathsheba was protecting him and his interests in Perek Aleph, and now again David is telling him you needed to man up for this task that you're going to be taking on as king. And again, this according to Chazal, at this time Shlomo is about 12. Meshamarta et meshmelet Adonai Elohecha, lechet bedrachav, lishmor chukotav, mitzvotav, umishpatav, ve'edvotav. כתוב בתורת משה, למען תזכיר את כל אשר תעשה ואת כל אשר תפנה שם. David tells Shlomo, and you're going to also observe all of the commandments of Hashem. You have to observe everything that's written in the Torah of Moshe in order for you to succeed in everything that you do and everywhere that you turn. למען יקים אדוני את דברו אשר דיבר עלי למור, אם ישמרו בניך את דרכם ללכת לפני באמת, וכל לבבם ובכל נפשם למור, לא יקרב לך איש מעל כיסא ישראל. And this is an order that God should fulfill His word, His command, His promise to me, that He told me that if your children will follow in my ways and be wholehearted in their service to God in all their hearts and all their souls, then there will be no one who will be able to cut off the succession of Malchut Bet David. You will always have someone sitting on the throne. Now, if we remember from Shmuel Bet Perek Zayin, where Hashem actually makes this promise, it's not exactly this way. Hashem had promised that David's dynasty will continue regardless of observance, but again, we might be able to understand the difference between authorship. Again, Yirmiyahu is writing Melachim, trying to explain to the people that already the seeds and the guidelines of punishment for the Churban comes from the non-observance of mitzvot, and that the package deal has always been in place from the get-go. In order to have a successful kingdom, you need to be founded on Torah and mitzvot, whereas Shmuel had a thrust of imprinting upon the people that indeed the kingship, the monarchy, is going to have complete sovereignty, and is going to be something that's going to be beyond the control of the people, is going to be something that will be stable and provide them with the stability that they were looking for. וגם אתה ידעת את אשר עשה לי יואב בן סרויה, אשר עשה לשני שרי סביבות ישראל, לאבנר בן נר ולעמסה בן יתר ויהרגם, וישם דמי מלחמה בשלום, וייתן דמי מלחמה בחגורתו אשר במותניו, ובנעלו אשר ברגליו. He says, and you also know what Yoav ben Tzruya did to me when he killed the two generals of Am Yisrael, Avner ben Ner and Amasa ben Yeter, and he killed them, and he placed war bloods in the time of peace, and he put war in his belt and in his shoes that he wears. So basically the reference here is to the two assassinations that Yoav ben Tzruya conducted. The first one was against Avner ben Ner, who used to be the Sar Tzava for Shaul, then Mephibosheth, and at one point switched sides when he was accused of trying to usurp the throne from Ishbosheth by trying to take his Pilegesh, which will soon become a hot theme here. And then in the time of battle, Asael kills Avner ben Ner, and in revenge for the killing of his brother, the Yoav kills him. So in the time of battle, Asael and Avner, representing the sides of David and Ishbosheth, meet, and they have a small battle there where Avner is then killed by Asael, and in revenge, Yoav later kills Avner, at a critical point where Avner was ready to switch camps to David and bring over all of Am Yisrael under one flagship, one leader of David HaMelech, and this assassination jeopardized that entire venture. Similarly, when later Yoav kills Amasa ben Yeter, who was then the Sar Sava of Avshalom, who was the one who was leading the battles for Avshalom. Similarly, David had promised him that he would take Yoav's place at the end of the battle, should he join ranks with David and bring over all of the people who were followers of Avshalom. And this presented this unique opportunity for him to unite the country. And again, David's general Yoav was the one who assassinates him, and whether it was out of his own pride for having both either Avner or Amasa be up for becoming the general and chief of staffs instead of him, or whether he was somewhat paranoid or somewhat cautious in regards to having the former generals of the enemy camp take over for him, and thereby perhaps compromising the security of the country and of David. It wasn't clear whether or not what exactly his motivations were, but at the end of the day, he definitely compromised the political union of Am Yisrael, and David had to go to great lengths to show that he was not a party to any of these assassinations. And this is the reference of Vayasim Demei Melchama BeShalom, and this was the chance to have Shalom, and Yoav was the one who ruined it. And the phraseology of B'chagorato Hashem Emotnav V'Na'alo Asher B'Raglav is somewhat of an indication that perhaps as an idiom, from his head till his toes, even though here it's from his waist to his toes, he was full of blood. This was Yoav, a bloodthirsty person, and he's irrational, something that he is not ready to always listen to the monarchy, to the orders of the king, and therefore this is a person who might be a political threat to Shlomo, and it's something that David is warning Shlomo against in order to make sure that he would have a stable kingdom. Ve'asita kechokhmatecha ve'lo toled tzevato b'shalom she'ol, and you should do as your wisdom, which at this point is just a regular 12-year-old boy, which is only later do we know that kechokhmatecha means the chokhmah perhaps of his future pretending wisdom. Ve'lo toled tzevato b'shalom she'ol, do not let him go to his grave in peace. He should meet an untimely death. When David was on the run from Avshalom, Barzilai HaGiladi brought together with his men a scrumptious meal with all the dressings for David and his men who were tired and hungry, and because of him they were able to carry on in running away from Avshalom. So therefore David says, and to the children, the offspring of Barzilai HaGiladi, find favor and let them eat at your table, for they too came to be on my side, to be allegiance with me when I was running away from your brother Avshalom. And here too with you is the fellow whose name is Shim'i ben Gera, who is from the tribe of Binyamin, from a place called Bachurim. He cursed me a terrible curse when I was going to Machanaim, running away from Avshalom. And when I was winning, when I beat Avshalom and I was coming back, he met me at the Yarden with all of his men, and at that point he claimed allegiance to me. I didn't want to kill him at that point. Again, David at that point was looking to unify the camps. David swore in God's name that he wouldn't kill him by the sword, even though Yoav and his men, his brother, were anxious to do so. So we have here Yoav and Shim'i are meant to be assassinated. The next pasuk tells us so. Ve'ata al tenakehu ki ish chacham ata, and do not let him get away and go off unpunished, because you're a wise man. So even though, again, this is before Hashem gives him any special wisdom, David already tells his 12-year-old boy how wise he is. Ve'yadata et asher ta'aseh lo v'horata tzevato bedam she'ol, and you'll know what to do with him when the time comes, and you'll make sure that he meets an untimely death into the grave. So two people need to be assassinated, is Shim'i and Yoav, and we also have to pay political tribute to Bnei Barzilai Giladi to show that people who are do benefit to the monarchs will end up having rewards. Vayishkav David im avotav v'yikaver be'ir David. So ironically, the last word that we have from David is Sheol, which also can look a little bit like Shaul. And so even though he's ending off his reign, we still have these remnants of the Sheol, of the death of Shaul, and the ideas of Shaul. But David meets his death in peace. He comes to rest in his father's graves, and he is buried in Ir David. V'hayamim asher malach David al Yisrael 40 shana, b'chevron malach 7 shanim, u'b'Yerushalayim malach 33 shanim. And David reigned for that perfect time period of 40 years, 33 years in Yerushalayim, after having reigned 7 years in Hebron, the 7 years in Hebron being his stronghold, and then afterwards 33 years over all of Am Yisrael when he moved the capital to Yerushalayim. Ushlomo yashav al kiseh David aviv v'tikon malchuto me'od. And Shlomo sat on the throne of his father David, and his rule was firmly established. And we have this idea of David managing again to pass down and pass onwards his power as king to Shlomo, and it looks like all of the threats have been addressed. But no sooner did we establish Shlomo's kingdom, and we kept the Pasuk Yud Gimel, and the person that we thought we took care of in Perek Aleph suddenly rears his ugly head again in Perek Bet. Vayavo Adoniyahu ben Chagit el Bat Sheva em Shlomo, v'tomer ha-shalom bo'echa v'yomer shalom. Adoniyahu ben Chagit, that same fellow who was trying to usurp the throne during David's lifetime, and perhaps was his big mistake for trying to do it during David's lifetime, he comes to Bathsheba, Shlomo's mother, right after David is dead, and she sees that he comes to her, and she asks him, everything okay? And he says, yeah, everything's fine. Vayomer davali alecha. I got to talk to you. Vatomer daber. So he says, go ahead. Vayomer at yadat. Kili haita hamelucha. Ve'alai samu kol Yisrael penehem lamelech. Vatisav hamelucha vatahi leachi. Ki me'adonai haita lo. As you know, that I was supposed to be the next up for the kingdom. Because you know, he was number 4, as we pointed out in Perek Aleph. He was the 4th son of David, and he was the next in line after Avshalom. And all of Am Yisrael were looking to me to be their king. He had a following, and they went to coronate him outside of the city walls. And at the end, you know, it just ended up that the kingdom went to my brother, because God had that in mind for him. Now I just have one small request from you. Al tashivi et panai. Don't tell me no. A little bit of a threatening tone there. Don't tell me no. Vatomer elav daber. And she says, go ahead, spit it out. Say what you want to say. Vayomer imrina l'shlomo ha-melech. Ki lo yashiv et panayich. V'yiten li et avishag ha-shunamit le'isha. Says, go approach Shlomo the king, and because he's not going to turn you down, and he should let me have Avishag Shunamit as a wife. Now Avishag, if you recall, was the sochenet, the attendant of David in his later years before he died. And she was absolutely beautiful, and we pointed out that Adoniah was also a very handsome man. And again, this royal-looking couple is something that not only in terms of looks go together, but also this idea of taking over the former leader's wife is something that repeats itself also with Avner and Ishbosheth, also with Avshalom sleeping with the Pilakshim of David, also in the episode of Reuven with Yaakov, the idea of supplanting the authority figure by sleeping with his wife. And therefore here, Adoniah's request is filled with overtones of usurping the kingdom. And again, even his introduction is not, I have a personal request, but you know how that kingdom thing worked out. Please don't turn me down. But no sooner does he ask, and Vatomer Batsheva Tov, Anuchi Adaber Alecha El HaMelech, and Batsheva says, sure, no problem, I'll go speak for you to the king. Now, Batsheva's acquiescence to Adoniah's request can come as a number of things. Either she's very innocent, which doesn't seem to be the case from Perek Aleph, or she's savvy enough to understand that she can't say no to Adoniah right there and then, she'll get killed. And number three, she probably is counting on Shlomo seeing straight through this pretty visible threat to his kingdom, and he'll manage to take care of things properly. She might be able to do damage control should Shlomo not pick up on the hint on his own. ותבוא בת שבע אל המלך שלמה לדבר לו על אדוניהו. ויקום המלך לקראתה, וישתחו לה, וישב על כיסו, וישם כיסא לאם המלך, ותשב לימינו. And Bathsheba came in to the king Shlomo to speak to him about Adoniyahu, and she receives a very honorable treatment by Shlomo. Shlomo, the king, gets up to meet her. He bows to her. He puts a seat, another royal throne, to sit next to his own, and he lets her sit down and sits to his right hand side, the important side. And so, definitely an absolute commanding presence of Bathsheba. Which again seems to indicate that she is not someone who is going to be easily taken advantage of. But Tomer, Shela achat ktana anochi shoedet meitach, al tashevet panai. I have one small request to ask of you. Please don't turn me down. Vayomer haMelech shali imi ki lo ashivet panaych. Says, go ahead and ask me, Mom, because I won't turn you down. ותאמר יותן את אבישג השונמית לאדוניהו אחיך לאישה. Give אבישג השונמית לאדוניה, your brother, as a wife. And again, this idea that she couches it as a small request, and she just says it straight out, without any puffery, indicates that she's trying to have Shlomo pick up right away, that there's something afoot. ויען המלך שלמה ויאמר לאמו, ולמה את שואלת את אבישג השונמית לאדוניהו, ושאלי לו את המלוכה? כי הוא אחי הגדול ממני, ולא, ולוויתר הכהן, וליואב בן צרויה. And Shlomo picks up right away and responds and says to his mother, why are you simply asking for Abishag HaShunamit for Adonia? Why don't you just simply ask for him to become the king and I should step down because he's my older brother? And then there's a small pause and Shlomo puts together that it's not simply that Adonia is cooking up some trouble, but he got back his old cronies, Ulevyatara Kohen and Yoav ben Tseruya. These are the people who were part of the original conspiracy that weren't killed the first time around, Evyatar, the Kohen, and Yoav ben Tseruya. Vishava HaMelech Shlomo Badonai Lemor. And Shlomo takes an oath in the name of God, saying, Ko Yaaseh Li Elohim V'Cho Yosif Ki Benafsho Dibir Adoniyahu Et HaDavar Hazeh. And he says, so should God do it for me and more, even if I don't kill Adoniyahu for what he just said. Ve'ata hay Adonai asher hechinani v'yoshivani al kiseh David avi v'asher asali bayit ka'asher diber ki hayom yumat Adoniyahu. And he says, and now I swear to God that who already established my throne and put me sitting here on the throne of my father David and made me this house, whether it be the physical house or rather perhaps more, is the house of the kingdom, as he promised David, meaning that he already took over for his father. Today is the day that Adoniyahu will die. Vayishlach haMelech Shlomo beYad Benayahu ben Yehoyada vayifga bo bayamot. And so it seemed that you had all the ingredients for Shlomo to have some Ruach Hashem, perhaps take over and have him go and kill Adoniyahu, but instead Shlomo sends for Benayahu ben Yehoyada, the head of his mafia group there, and he has the army in his power, Benayahu, and he goes and he kills Adoniyahu. And so again, we have the idea that Shlomo, throughout his entire reign, we are going to see he is indeed true to his name, Shalom, peace. He will not kill anybody personally, and during his reign, and we'll talk about this later, there will be no battles waged against any other country. ולוויתר הכהן אמר המלך, ענתות לך על שדך, כי איש מוות אתה, וביום הזה לא עמיתך. כי נשאת את ארון אדוני אלוהים לפני דוד אבי, וכי התענית בכל אשר התענה אבי. And to אביתר הכהן, he was next up, right? He was the one who was also in the original revolt against David in favor of Adoniyahu. Shlomo המלך tells אביתר, go run to ענתות. And we know that Anatot is a place for Kohanim. Yirmiyahu also will be later from Anatot. He also is Kohen. Ki ish mavet ata, you're worthy of dying. But today I'm not going to kill you, because you carried the Ark of Hashem when it was for my father David, and you suffered along with him in everything that he suffered. And we know that during the times that David was running away, and from the time that he was running away from Shaul, Eviatar was the sole survivor of Nov Ira Kohanim. And this point was brought out by Alex Israel in his book on 1 Kings, 20 and 2. And he says that we see that David took an oath that he was going to take care of Eviatar because of the guilty feelings that David had for having the decimation of Nov occur because of his presence there. And as David continued on throughout his career, Eviatar was always there, even during the revolt of Avshalom. Eviatar and Tzadok were the ones who helped their children, helped relay messages to David to be able to outrun the forces of Avshalom. And so Eviatar HaKohen, Shlomo says himself that, you know, you did everything for my father, you went through all the hard times together with him, I'm not going to kill you now, you go back to your fields in Anatot, you're going to be disconnected from the capital, you won't be any longer in the political hub, you won't be able to make any more connections, you won't be able to make any more possible threats to my kingdom, and you engage yourself in your field work and not in the kihuna, so therefore you will be totally disassociated with things that go on in any positions of power. Vaygaresh Shlomo et Eviatar mihiyot kohen l'Adonai lemale devar Adonai asher diber al bet Eli b'shilo. And Shlomo kicks out Eviatar from being a kohen, again, like we said, to go work at his field. And the Navi tells us, it doesn't seem to be any part of Shlomo's motivation, but this part of Shlomo's decree was also a fulfillment of what Hashem promised Eli in Shiloh, which was that all of his offspring would meet with suffering, and they would say, Sefacheni na, to join me to one of the parts of the kihuna, meaning that they're not really one of the parts of the regular kihuna, and this is Eviatar's fate. והשמועה באה עד יואב, כי יואב נטע אחרי אדוניה, ואחרי אבשלום לא נטע, וינוס יואב אל אוהל אדוני, ויחזק בקרנות המזבח. And the news got to Yoav, because Yoav knows that he was the one who was following Adonia, and he did not follow Avshalom in the sense that he didn't protect Avshalom when the time came, and he was the one who actually executed Avshalom, and therefore it shows that he was not loyal to David on either of those counts. And Yoav ran to the Ohel Hashem, and he tried to hold on to the Karnot HaMizbeach, this idea that, again, there was some sanctuary, refuge for holding on to the corners of the Mizbeach. As we will see, it's not going to be applied here. The general sentiment that existed and that might work in certain situations has been debated in the commentaries, but we won't get into that right now. As we will see, there'll be no refuge for anyone holding on to the corners of the Mizbeach. They're going to be treated as a criminal. Yoav is being treated as a regular murderer, not as somebody who was a political victim of the king's decrees. Vayugad la'melech Shlomo, ki nas Yoav el ohel Adonai b'hine etzel ha'mizbeach, v'yishlach Shlomo et Benayel ben Yehuda l'mor, lech pegabo. And it was told to the king Shlomo that Yoav ran off to Ohel Hashem, to the sanctuary of the Mishkan, and he was by the Mizbeach, and they didn't say he was Ochez Bekarnot HaMizbeach, he was just near the Mizbeach, and perhaps that's why Shlomo thinks he can kill Yoav, but regardless, we'll see that it's not going to be an issue for Shlomo. And again, Shlomo is not the one who himself is going to do it, but rather Benayahu ben Yehuda is being sent and said, go, take him out. ויבוא בניהו אל אוהל אדוני, ויאמר אליו, כה אמר המלך, צא. ויאמר לא, כי פה אמות. וישוב בניהו את מלך דבר לאמור, כה דיבר יואב, וכה ענני. And בניהו came to Ohel Hashem, and he tells Yoav, you know, this is what the king said, get out. And he knows that once he gets out, he's going to get killed. So Yoav says, oh, I'm not going anywhere, I'm staying right here. You want to kill me right here. ויישוב בניהו, בניהו went back to the king and told him what was the conversation. ויאמר לו המלך, עשה כאשר דיבר, ופגע בו וקברתו. והסירותה דמי חינם אשר שפך יואב מעלי ומעל בית אבי. And the king tells him, well, all right, so, you know, do what he says. He doesn't, he wants to die right there, we'll kill him right there. And then bury him. And you'll remove all of the innocent people's bloods who were killed by Yoav from my head and from my the house of my father. Meaning for all the things that Yoav did in the past and for the bloods that I needed to shed now, meaning Adoniyahu. וישיב אדוני את דמו על ראשו אשר פגע בשני אנשים צדיקים וטובים ממנו ויהרגם בחרב ואבי דוד לא ידע את אבנר בן נר שר צבא ישראל ואת עמסה בן יתר שר צבא יהודה. And again, the repeat of what it is that David was telling him, that this is his own punishment that's been coming to him because he in the past killed two innocent people, two people who are more righteous and better than he, who he killed with the sword and my father didn't know. And this serves as a centerpiece in this perek, again showing that David did not know about the deaths of the two generals, Avner ben Ner, the Tsar Sava of Israel, here referred to as the Israel of the from Ishbosheth side, but Amasa ben Yeter, Tsar Sava Yehuda, who was taking over for Avshalom, who was taking over David's role as ruler. V'shamu demehem b'rosh Yoav v'brosh Zar'o le'olam. And so all of the violence of Yoav should be his own, in his own home, in his children's future, but for David and his offspring, meaning himself, and for the entire kingdom and for his throne, will always be peace from now and forevermore from God, from within God. And Ben Yael ben Yehuda fulfills the orders, he goes, he knocks him out, kills him right there in the ohel. And he buries, Ben-Yahu buries him in the, well, rather, Yoav is buried in his home in the Midbar. And now we begin with the official appointment. So if it wasn't clear already that Ben-Yahu ben Yehoyada is in charge of the army, he is now officially in charge of the army. And Tzadok HaKohen is now going to take over for Eviatar. V'yishnach HaMelech v'yikra l'shim'i v'yom elo b'nei lecha bayit b'Yerushalayim v'yashavta sham v'lo tetze misham ana v'ana. He says, Shlomo calls Shim'i, Shim'i ben Gera, the next one who's supposed to be taken out, and he says, go build yourself a house in Yerushalayim, and you're going to live there, and you're not allowed to leave. You have to stay inside Yerushalayim. V'haya b'yom setcha, v'abarta at Nachal Kedron, yadoa teda kimot tamut, damcha yeh b'roshecha. And whenever you leave, and you pass Nachal Kedron, you should know you're a dead man. It's going to be your own fault. So make sure you don't do anything to endanger your own life. V'yom eshimi l'melech tov adavar, k'ashe diber adoni ha-melech, ken ya'ase avdecha. V'yeshiv Shim'i b'Yerushalayim yamim rabim. And Shim'i told the king, I accept, it's a good offer, I accept, it's a good thing that you're telling me. Just like my master the king, accepting full sovereignty of Shlomo as the king, so shall your servant do. Again, Eved relationship to Shlomo, showing complete allegiance. Vayeshiv Shimi b'Yerushalayim, he lived in Yerushalayim, Yamim Rabim, which is at least the 2 years, as we see in the next Pasuk. Vahim Meket Shalosh Shanim, Vayibrichu Shnei Abadim L'Shimi Elachish Ben Ma'acha Melech Gat, Vayagidu L'Shimi Remor, Hinei Abadecha Begat. And after 3 years, two slaves of Shim'i ran off to Achish ben Ma'acha in Gat. And they told Shim'i about this, and he said, your slaves are in Gat. So, well, all right, I got to get my slaves. V'yakom Shim'i, v'yachavosh et hamaro, v'yirech Gata el Achish, v'vakesh et avadav, v'yirech Shim'i, v'yabeh et avadav, migat. So Shim'i got up, and he harnessed his own donkey, and he went to Gat to Achish to make sure to find out where his slaves. And he went, and he brought his slaves back from Gat. And people told him, oh, he went to God and he came back. So it's a violation of the court order. You know, you're not supposed to be beyond the city limit, and he already passed the line. And the king called, Shlomo calls Shimei and tells him, Now, didn't I make you swear by God's name, and I took you have witnesses here that heard you say that the day that I told you you're going to leave from the town, go any place outside Yerushalayim, you should know you're a dead man, and you said, yeah, I hear you, it's a good idea, I like it. ומדוע לא שמרת את שבועת אדוני ואת המצווה שסיוויתי עליך? So why didn't you fulfill your oath to Hashem and the command that I told you? ויאמר המלך אל שמעי, אתה ידעת את כל הרעה אשר ידע לבבך אשר עשית לדוד אבי והשיב אדוני את רעתך בראשך. He says, you know all of the bad things, all the evil that was in your heart and what you did to David, my father, and that when you came back just to appease him after he beat Avshalom, that was all just a farce, and really, you're looking for trouble, and God should pay you back for all of your evil ways, it's your own fault. והמלך שלמה ברוך וכיסא דוד יהיה נכון לפני אדוני עד עולם. He says, and while I'm doing all of this, this is not any cause for anyone to think badly about me. מי שלמה המלך, I am going to be blessed, and the throne of David is going to be established forevermore in front of God. ויצב המלך את בניהו בן יהוידע, ויצא ויפגע בו בימות, והממלכה נכונה ביד שלמה. And שלמה commands בניהו בן יהוידע, and in case we didn't already know what the outcome is going to be, the text tells us he went out and he kills the Shimei ben Gera, and he's killed, and the kingdom of Shlomo is once again secured. Well, we ended off the last parak thinking the same thing, and now we again thinking that Shlomo's kingdom is secured, and we're going to see whether or not there are threats from within, or there are only threats from without. But this idea of Shimei being killed for some technicality of being outside of Yerushalayim. So again, Alex Israel in his book points out that the stress that we have in Pasuk Lamed Tet, that he went to Achish ben Ma'acha Melech Gat, and that Shimei himself goes to Gat, and he's the one who goes to Achish to go to get his slaves, might indicate that really Shimei is looking to have some type of an alliance with Melech Gat to start another type of rebellion, or at least cause some trouble for Shlomo, and hence there might be some political overtones as well. But as we end Perek Bet, the kingdom of Shlomo is further established. The threats of Yoav and Shimei have been eliminated. It sends a clear message to all of the people out there thinking of possible rebellion to abandon their plans. And we see that Adoniyah was biding his time, and that it was only because David was alive that he laid low when Shlomo first ascended the throne. And as soon as David died, he thought he had another chance. Had Adoniyah been a little bit more patient and only after David begin his campaign, he might have had a better chance of succeeding, but the succession of Shlomo was ordained by God and is now in complete control of the kingdom.